some of you are shortchanged because you're church kids. No. You see this in the scripture with Paul. He had a direct touch from the Lord. And then he shares his testimony. What about Timothy? When Paul was about to be gone, he had to put God's economy upon a young man. And he was a church kid.
Right. Right.
His faith was from what? Grandmother and mother, right? And with the church kids, you need to fan into flame.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
They're both precious. I wish I could have been a church kid. But I wasn't. So we're in one body, and some of us were church kids. You should be very glad you're a church kid, like Timothy. You're really needed. So when we share these experiences, it's yours. Your experience is ours. We're in one body, one organic body. Right? So I appreciate that. So you just thank the Lord in your prayer of appreciation. Lord, thank you. I'm a church kid.
Amen.
I'm young and I'm in love.
Amen.
Hey,
you're getting bored. I think I'll sing you a song. Where is it? I wrote a song for the high schoolers. So if you're a high schooler, you can enjoy it. You got a guitar here? Oh, these have got more than six strings. Wow. How do you play these things? When I look that far, I can't take my glasses off. I am young and I'm in love with the one who is from above. All my days are just for him. All my being I open to him. Jesus, you love me. You took my place at Calvary. Jesus, you love me. You gave your life to save me. I'll destroy the world. To be young?
Amen.
So maybe you can have it. I'm young and in love.
Amen.
Here's a young man.
Amen.
Stay young.
Amen.
I'm not going to tell you my age. Need to get old. Well, I still feel not to touch any practices yet. It's easy to take a practice and miss the essence. It's the is the picture is what the Lord says, the vine and the branches. A close relationship. Maybe a little more stories. Am I boring you with stories?
No.
Okay, that what I said has been in the beginning of my Christian life. And I'm facing the same thing. I told my wife that every house we buy is going to be right by the campus. So right now I am by campus. It's from here to Esther's Road. And I got another couple living on the other side. And it's closer than that, right by the library. And we open our house every day. From 6 o'clock, we just leave it open. All the students can bring their friends. Just in their daily living. It's not a work. It's our life. It's not that I'm spiritual. No. But this is how the Lord has touched me. Lord, if whatever I have is for you, I owe you this wonderful salvation. So from that day we got saved, we have opened our house. So I would say the houses that the older ones have for dinners, it is very much needed. Last night, it's a junior college with the one serving. We had 44 in the meeting Friday night. We got one good one baptized. She sang a song and she was convicted of her sin. The atmosphere in the home, sanctifying spirit, touches to sweep over the heart, a conscience. So she really began to glow after she got baptized. Some cases seem very impossible. We met this girl before I came back from Taipei. The saints met this young Vietnamese girl, and she was a tough nut. When she was younger, she was under Ho Chi Minh in Vietnam, and she was a kind of leader. Whatever she did, the other kids follow. So when the teacher was not in the classroom, she picked up some stones and threw it at the picture of Ho Chi Minh. So all the kids were doing the same thing. She hated the communists. She's a tough person, a young girl. And then they caught her doing that. They begin to beat her up. She says, I will not shed one tear for that beating. She was that tough. Somehow she came to the U.S. And they preached the gospel to her, and she's now open. Then she began to share that her grandmother was in the hospital for over a year in a coma. She can't speak. And she felt guilty because she never had a good relationship with the grandmother. And the grandmother's going to die, and she wanted a good... She was a good human being. Self-righteous, but she knew the relationship wasn't right. So she would visit her every day. And she says she's been there for 1 year. One sister got a burden from the Lord to go with her. And while they were going, she said, I'll go with you. She said, oh, well, you know, I'll go myself. But she went anyway. And she began to call on the Lord in the car. And she said, why don't you call with me? And she testified. She said, I ain't bringing a crazy woman to the hospital. Then they went to the hospital. And I guess she just did it just to call on the Lord, just to, you know, to turn her off, I guess. In the hospital, this sister said to this Vietnamese girl, I can't speak your language, I'm going to share something with your grandmother. And this grandmother was just staring at the ceiling. No consciousness. But you just speak in Vietnamese what I'm saying. So she preached the gospel. And it seems like nothing happened. Well, later she told us, she went back the following day, her grandmother was in tears. And she began to speak. She confessed and says to the grandma spoke to her and says, I am sorry that our relationship was so bad all this year. And then she said, remember that girl that came yesterday? That girl, this is your people. And then she went into a coma again. She got saved. So I don't understand where you put the principle, how far to go. Then she came. I came back from Taipei. I never met her. 8 o'clock in the morning, she knocks on my door. My wife and I says, are you Howard? I said, yes, I'm Howard. I just came back from Taipei. She says, I want to be baptized. Wow. I'd like to have somebody come to your door. So my wife starts filling the water. She's a sister in the church. Amen. Married to a good brother. I want to take you out of all kinds of concepts. The Lord did it to me when I first got saved. I put 10 people of my friends. 5 I thought would never, I thought, well, they won't be saved. 5 I thought would be saved. All 5 that I thought would be saved are not saved. All the 5 I thought won't be saved are saved. From that day, I forget about my own discernment. He knows. I don't know. Amen. Our job is to just speak. Amen. Wherever the water flows, that's it. I don't have the kind of revelation of going on the place. That's the one. I don't know. It's better I don't know. Well, now where am I? Quite a few stories. I had one, my family on my side, my mother got saved right away, my wife got saved right away, my brother, one of my brother I found out was saved earlier, but he never told me. Now listen to this one. He told me after I got saved. We were brought up as Buddhists. And I think the only place we heard about Jesus is going to movies. The greatest story ever told, or something, I don't know, you know, about the Bible or something about Jesus. Oh, you hear, Jesus loves me, and, you know, fine, you know, let him sing that. That's all we heard. Never owned the Bible, never heard the gospel. My brother went diving with his friends in the ocean, and a big current began to take them out. And he began to drown in deep sea. And he knew that all 3 was going to go down. So he says, I'll be okay, just swim back. So they swam back, and here he was really drowning. Never heard the gospel. And he was brought up as a Buddhist. In the depths of the ocean, he called out to God. You know who came? Jesus. He told me that day, a voice came to me, and he knew it was Jesus. If you want to swim in the ocean all day, I'll be with you. That strengthened him. He swam back to shore before the others reached back. And he walked to shore, the others crawled. So he got saved and baptized at the same time. But he never told me that he was saved. He tried to be a Baptist for 8 years. But I would take him somewhere else all the time. We're very close. But he tried. He went every Sunday and he went every Wednesday, I think, their prayer meeting. And he had a good friend, a black brother. And when this friend wanted to be baptized, they refused to baptize him. This man, he says, wept. And from that day, he says, I give up God. If this is God, he touched the Lord, then he touched religion. 8 years. So when I said I got saved, he said, don't talk to me about that. Then he got curious. He came to our meeting. I don't know. What kind of meeting is the Baptist? Loud?
No.
What?
Yeah.
I didn't say it. You said it. Anyway, he went to the meeting and there was a lot of shouting and enjoyment. And he said, too noisy. I said, well, that's good. You be honest with the Lord. And he was so frustrated with religion that he couldn't see the reality in the church. But after my mother got saved, what can he say? So he, a very quiet person in a way. And he told me, he says, right after that meeting, he says, it's too noisy, it's not for me. And he says, beside it, I'm giving up God. I says, that's an honest prayer. You ought to pray it out loud to him. Be honest. You want to give him up, you tell him you want to give him up. You know what happened? He gives him up, but God doesn't give him up. He came back 2 weeks later to fellowship with me. He says, Howard, I said, yes. He says, I mean, coming back to the meeting. I says, why? He says, the Lord won't let me to go to sleep. 2 weeks. I cannot sleep. I must go back to your meeting. 1968. He's been in the church ever since. And he sleeps very good now. You must realize that God, this is God's work. We're just joining in with him. I didn't have the skill to tell her right now. I just told him to pray an honest prayer of giving up God. Would you tell him that? I didn't have any concepts. But to me, that was honest. That was his heart. How he loves the Lord. And he's quiet. And he retired. He says, I'm retiring 2 years early. He says, I want to be with the full-timers on the campus. You know my brother, Tush. He goes by himself now. Certain days when the full-timers are not there, Monday he goes on the campus, preach the gospel. My quiet brother. Well, so my side turned out very good. My wife's side Nothing but problems. So I want to tell you the side where we had to long suffering. In other words, you'll have some that will turn right away, some long. Do not give up anyone. Short term, long term, it doesn't matter. Her father, soon as I got saved and my wife got saved, we went to visit him in Hawaii. First thing we walk in the house, he brings us to the Buddhist place, I mean in the house, and opens up that thing, and there's this Buddha, and he says, I want you to bow your knee to him. I says to my wife, give me the hammer. I'm going to smash that bald-headed man. So you know what happened. He's stubborn and he's offended. So from that point, he cut off my wife. And he's the honcho of the whole clan. And I'm so, I felt so, what, how can I pay back my wife for so much labor on my side? And her side, nobody saved. We never gave up. 23 years later, I came back from Taipei, going through Hawaii. He was in a coma. And I says, he can't understand. So I says, Lord, I don't understand this, but I'm going to lay hands on him, see what happens. He came back to consciousness. And I told my wife, you got to go back right now. He's conscious right now. I call him. You have to preach the gospel. So my meek little wife went there. And she read in the morning revival, if you cannot weep for man's salvation, how will others weep for their salvation? And that word just penetrated her. And she walked in the hospital room and it took over the whole room. And she led her father to the Lord. 23 years later. And he died. Then he got the mother saved. Then she got the oldest brother saved. She shared what happened, and then she became a tiger. My meek wife. Well, about 1980, one of her relatives, nephews, got saved at UCLA through us. He came to my house, nice young man. And he said, we were sitting, brothers and sisters, sitting around the table, we're fellowshipping. He walks in, knocks on the door, walks in, and he says, uncle and auntie, he says, I have the same thing you got. He says, I'm a Christian. And I don't think he was. I says, I don't think so. He says, no, I am. I'm same like you. I says, I don't think so. I'll prove it. I says, we'll do something you can't do. And everybody's face lighted up. We all begin to call on the Lord. One by one. Came to his place. See. He asked two more questions and then he got saved. But her mother, my wife's sister, is just like her father, stubborn to the uttermost. Before I was saved, she came to me one day, she says, you know, my sister is better off without you. She was in great danger of going through the roof. Plus her husband. somehow, I don't know, maybe the Lord knew I shouldn't do that. Even as a Buddhist, he covered me, I think. I says, how did they ever get away with that statement? Anyway, after we got saved, she fought us also. I was their entertainment person for their party. I didn't drink, I didn't smoke, but I played the music. And after I got saved, I gave them all my instruments. I stopped totally. All the songs I realized is garbage. So I bought an old guitar and began to sing the songs on the blood of the Lamb to wash my being out for 1 year straight. Every day, every day, every day. Wash it, wash it. So when I quit, it offended the whole clan. Over 100 Buddhists. Her side. My side was okay. We begin to get saved one by one. Like I said. But we never gave up. Then this nephew that got saved, very interesting, got engaged to a girl and never got married. She didn't want to get married. Eventually, he dropped her and came to my house a year ago and says, Uncle, I'm engaged to a Christian girl. Could you do the wedding for me? It's not having them over to the church. They're having the wedding in a hotel. They're going to be about 250 Buddhists. My wife and I would be the only Christians, maybe. What would you do? I says, no candles, no this, no that, no this, no that. They said, oh, we like what our friends are. I said, no, just the Lord's presence. So they agreed. So I did the wedding. I had the church praying. I had the full-timers praying. I had my grapevine in the back of my house praying. Here's the opportunity of my wife's relatives. They would never hear the gospel, but they knew my life before that. Now this is what? Quite a year afterwards. So, and then he says, well, why don't you sing a song? I said, oh, sing a song. I said, okay, okay. I wrote a song just for a wedding. Is there someone? How many of you heard that? It touches all about what a man goes through in his thoughts before he gets married. Is this the right one? Anyway, if you can, eventually somebody can give you. So I sang it, my wife and another sister. We bought another sister. Is there someone who's a friend that I can open to? Or someone who understands all that I'm going through? Or someone when there's no one I can always come to? There is no someone like this one. So then the other side, there is a someone. So at the end, it's Christ is the someone. Anyway, I spoke, and she wanted it on love, and there were at least 200 or more Buddhists I knew. Not one got offended. And when I began to speak about what the ring is, signifying the eternal God, no beginning and end, but when you take Christ, you have a beginning but no ending. And the goal shows God's divine nature. And then I prayed at the end, and I didn't pray loud, but the prayer and utterance became very, very clear. So now you must pray for me. I got to follow up with 200 Buddhists. And one right away, that sister, right away declares she's a Christian. She got sick, and then my wife sent her a tape on some song. We went to visit, and she was playing that song. Soon as we go into the house, the song was playing. And she says, I like those words, someone. She says, and she memorized the whole song, singing it. And the husband got sick, so we went to visit. And he was always on my heart, but never open. This time, he's open. We just visited him about a month ago. And before I left, I didn't force anything. She said, could you pray for him? So I says, okay, I'll just stand. And then they just joined. And he's open. So we're going to go one by one to the relatives. So my relatives are with me all the time. They like me, they don't like me, they're still relatives. So I want to share with you, some will take long period, some are quick, some are fast, some are slow, some are... How many got relatives not saved? You know, when I went to Hawaii the first time, after I got saved, my brother, I preached the gospel, the one right above me. It took 15 years before he got saved. And he says, not for me. And I got really bummed out, you know, just being 1 year in the Lord. I thought I prayed right, and I said the right thing. I had the right doctrine, and I had the... He says, no. I came back, and there was an older brother named Brother Chang. How many know Brother Chang? You'll never forget if you met him. So he kind of sensed something. He came up to me, he says, he never asked me, what's the problem? He said, let me tell you a story. I said, and he's telling me a story on a success. And here I fail. I said, you're going to make me more bummed out. He says, all my relatives in China got saved. I said, I can't even get my brother saved. I don't want to hear that. And he says, the last one uncle, took 40 years. I've been in the recovery 1 year. So I better listen to him. So I realized, not to get disheartened because you're rejected. So we never stopped. Took my brother prayers, took 15 years. My father-in-law, 23, mother-in-law, 23 years. So there's a side of the quick salvation, there's a side of the long term. Okay? The sweeping woman was sweeping for the lost coin. How long? What? How long is that? Until it was found. However long that is, until she finds it. We are just joining in with the sweeping spirit. He is sweeping. Amen. We're just joining. If it's 23 years, it's 23 years. It doesn't mean every day we're burdened. No, we make mention. Never give up. Trying God doesn't give up. One of my neighbors, I gave up a couple of times. She yelled at her husband, and she yelled it like a football game, at 5 o'clock in the morning. And my window is right next of hers. How do you like to have a neighbor like that? But the Bible says, love your neighbor. Greatest challenge. 5 o'clock in the morning, I'm going to get up at 5:36. But, you know, before that, you need. Sometimes I just get enough rest. It was busy church life. I could hear. Boo! Shall I pray for fire from heaven? And she is loud. The more I pray, the Lord says, you pray for her. That's your neighbor. 10 years. Her husband took me 5 years. Her, I prayed and prayed. One day she called on the phone. She says, Howard, will you pray that I die? I says, She came to a point, like in Revelation, her life became so miserable that she wants to die, but she can't die. And I told her, I says, Violet, her husband died. He received the Lord. Her husband, how he received the Lord, I was in a prayer meeting, and I mow my lawn, and he's right next to me, so he watches me, and he takes care of his lawn. I don't, but somehow it stays green. And he should find it. So I was enjoying the Lord's mowing, you know, praise the Lord, amen. Calling the Lord. He said, hey! I said, I know your secret. I know why your grass stays green. You don't do nothing. You talk to them. I say, Bill, no, Bill. Bill, I'm talking to the Lord. When I says, Lord, he goes, like an arrow. Then we were praying in a prayer meeting, and just the burden rose up. Came back from the prayer meeting. He was standing right. It was dark. Standing right by his garage. Right at that time, I realized, this is the time. He opened up, he received the Lord. But she's still yelling at him. And yelling at me almost, you know, my window's there. I said, so what shall I do? So when she called up, she wanted to die. Not a bad idea. But the Lord doesn't think so. So I says, what you need right at this very moment is to follow me in prayer. And she said, yes, I will. So that this tough woman received the Lord. Amen. So that blew my concept. So all kinds of people, whether they come to the church, I'm not too sure. But whoever moves and walks, they're human beings. They deserve to hear the gospel. And I'm not saying I'm faithful, but I try. And many times I fail, I just confess. Now the students are going out. Every year of your life is the best time to preach the gospel. Now. Now's the best time. Tomorrow is not the best time. Right now is. And you say, I wish I was young. No. Now's the best time. When you're old, that's the best time. I'm over 25. And I get saved at 31. And it keeps you abiding. You know, two things helps us abide is one, the calling on the Lord, getting in the Word. What else helps us? The gospel. Every time you think, oh, this one needs the Lord, you surely join up to him. And so everyone you see will help you abide. When you're confessing, you're abiding. When you're speaking, you're abiding. Another phenomenon that helps you get in the spirit, especially when you're shopping, is when you see, you know, you're buying something and you see a saint in the church come by. What do you think when you see, when you're busy doing something and then you see a brother? Right away you think of Christ. Especially if one's preaching the gospel. Now I want to touch with you the side of the intercession. Our praying is not we ourselves just praying, but the initiation is from God. In Hebrews chapter 7, Christ is always what? Interceding. In ascension, what is he doing? All the time, what? Praying. Our job is to join in this intercession. And John 15 starts with what? Abide in me and what? For I am the vine and you are the what? The key with the branches of the vine is the inflow and the outflow. We must keep both sides open. The inflow that we have intimate contact with the Lord. The outflow is to dispense the triune God. In the Luke chapter 10, after he binds the wound, he pours in what? Oil and wine. And what's the oil and wine? Spirit and? That's the life-giving spirit. To dispense, our goal is to put God into another person. But, you know, it's very strange. He didn't dispense the wine and oil on his head. Where did he put the wine and oil? If you know a person is wounded, and you can sympathize with the wound to a point that he trusts you, you can dispense the triune God. It's right on the wound. You find my wound. You dispense. So the Lord can see our wounds. Come and heal our wounds. And then pour the oil and wine right on the wounds. The dispensing is a fine, fine dispensing. Marvelous. And the whole section ends with what? He puts him on his beast, huh? How long before he came to the inn? Some a long time. To me, some to really make it in the church life takes 3 years, maybe more. And that means weekly care. Don't give up. I like the cases in the beginning of, you know, the story that came through the roof. How many like to have those? Oh, I'm just waiting for that one to come through the roof. That's not the laboring way. The laboring way is week by week. So what we do many times is they come in, they're excited, and we drop them. Then they're lost. But those that are outside many times, we just keep on dispensing. And when they come in, they're solid. But we should never stop the dispensing. And the Lord cared for him, and then when the Lord brought him to the church, the inn, what did he say? Take care. The main thing is care. And he gives us enough grace to take care of him. Then he says, whatever you spend in addition, when I return, I will repay you. So that section starts his journeying from his incarnation, his crucifixion, healing our wounds, becoming a life-giving spirit, dispensing into us, coming into the church life, caring for us, and the church caring for us. When he comes, what is the kingdom reward, basically? How much we care for the brothers and sisters. When I return, I will repay you. Whatever you spend in what? Addition. In other words, in caring the saints for the saints, many times, most of the time, I feel I don't have enough. How many feel when you're taking care of a new one, you feel you got abundance all the time? No. But somehow, as you go out to care, the supply is there. And that makes us the overcomers for the reward. Take care of him. And I praise the Lord. So I thank the Lord today, not only for the Lord's salvation from me, but also the care that was rendered to me by the church. How many is here because you're strong and you made it by yourself? Huh? It's a strange feeling when I first came into the church. I said, I know some people are praying for me. I don't know who they are. When I went somewhere and we had to do something, an older sister came up to me and said, you know what she said to me, David? She said, we prayed for you and we prayed you back. This wasn't a negative trip. But every day, this sister prayed for me. This is the function of those sisters who are older with more measure. We have one sister, from the time a group of sixth graders, she knew their names. She prayed for them all the way until they graduated college and still continuing. We need that ministry. How about that? So the older ones can pray, the middle ones can share life, everyone can share life, but we need the praying ones, we need the homes to open, we need the young ones to contact. Amen. This is the body. Amen. This is the gospel. Amen. There's no lone rangers. Amen. Right? The lone rangers are over. We're in the body. Amen. Why do you tell me, how did I preach the gospel? Why I was bold? The one that preached the gospel to me is the most quietest person. I think, is she here, the Blanton? You know that brother. Can you imagine his quietness and he would be the one? I think he never shared a word. But he prayed every day. He prayed the Lord's presence into my bedroom before I was saved as a Buddhist. The brooding spirit came into my bedroom. I didn't know. It was 2 weeks before after I looked at it. You're the one. You prayed God right into my room. And I knew it wasn't Buddhism. I felt so dirty. I dove under my blanket. I went to sleep and I got up and I said, boy, that was a terrible dream. Later, he gave me his Bible. He says, you go to your room and read this verse. I went to my room, opened the Bible, the same presence. Now I have the word. A quiet, quiet brother was the one that saved me. He prayed every day. He says, out of 26,000 students, your name came up every day. So after I got saved, I got a big mouth. So I teamed up with him. I needed his knowledge of the word and his praying. He needed my big mouth to reach everybody. We made a marvelous team. I wasn't afraid to tackle anybody on campus. They said, what about the Bible, this and that? I go, let me introduce to you my lexicon. Why be all inclusive? Only Christ is all inclusive.
Amen.
Use each other. So I had so much fun. I quote the wrong verse. He said, you quote the wrong one. Oh, yeah. Go, clear them up for me. Oh, yeah. When he wasn't around, I had not the boldness. I may meet somebody that says, you don't know the verses. That's right. I don't know. I bring him around with me. One day he says, I'm bummed out. I says, that's okay. I need you. He says, but I'm no good. I said, that's okay. I'd rather have you bummed out than nobody. Come on. So he went with me, bummed out. Very deep in prayer and the word. So I learned from him. Just being with him. We're shepherding one guy, and this guy never opens, and he never takes our word. He looks like he's open. One day, he opened for about 1 minute. And this brother poured in 3 verses. I said, man, how did he do that? I said, hey, what's your secret? He said, secret what? I said, where did you get the 3 verses? He pulled his wallet. You see, 3 verses. While I was praying to the Lord, months, the Lord gave him 3 verses for him. This man opens up in 1 minute, the 3 bullets go. Shoo. I said, oh. In the body life, we present our body, our mind is being renewed, our spirit is burning. The major thing there is vying to honor each other. What I don't have, he has. I need you, brother.
Amen.
So when he left on migration, I lost. But then I learned more verses. But the principle is the same. If you are weak in something, go with that person. You will learn. Perfect one another. I saw the strength of each one, and I would spend time with each one. The care for me, soon as I got saved, one brother moved into my house for 2 weeks. I just got saved. He said, can I stay at your house? I said, we don't have an extra bed. He said, no, that couch is fine. I said, good. He moved in for 2 weeks. Anyone did that? Then I saw him in the morning. He gets up. I said, what are you doing? He says, oh, if I don't spend time in the Word in the morning, he says, my old man is too strong. I said, oh, maybe that's the secret. Learn to pray, read with him. So you know, I mean, we have to find every opportunity. Okay, when John 15, abide in me and I in you, right? Then it says, without me you can do. So you have to take care of all the insulations, no insulation, a lot of confession. Confession is not negative. It's just getting rid of all the junks. In the morning, it's so sweet to confess. You are, I'm not. Forgive me, Lord, for my thoughts yesterday, for my words to my wife, my attitude. Clear everything up so that the flowing of the triune God comes into us. God's dispensing his economy in his divine trinity through the branches and the vine. We were wild olive branches grafted in. We're crucified with Christ. He was cut. And we were cut at the same time and we're grafted in. Our old manner of life, when we're baptized, has been buried. Our source, the old olive branch tree, has been cut off. We have a new source, which is the vine. As we abide in the vine, that life will produce the fruit. Anyway, this is the vision I saw. Without it, I can't. I remember one time, I just couldn't be one with a brother. I got so offended. The brothers asked me to go preach the gospel. I said, brothers, I have not the strength until I deal with this. We cannot. We have to clear up a whole being. Lord Jesus, forgive me, Lord. Right? And then when you're clear, my, nothing can shake you. Right? On the other side, we need to overflow to dispense. Okay? And in it, after we abide in him and he in us, then his words abide in us. His word is more of a definite abiding. According to the word, it says, you pray and it shall be one. It will be answered because it's not our prayer. Now, this section of it is not easy to see except I got real help by Brother Lee. Praise the Lord. Let me read to you Genesis 18. What was the story in Genesis 18? Lot, remember? Okay, I'll just read. And the Lord appeared unto him, to Abraham, the plains or the oak of Mamre, and he sat in the tent room door in the heat of the day, lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him, and when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. He recognized the Lord right away and said, my Lord. He was already a very intimate relationship. By this time, the God of glory has appeared to him as El Shaddai, the mighty one, possessor of heaven and earth. But here, he appears to him in a very intimate way as a man. You need a lot of intimate fellowship of abiding in the Lord. This is the best picture of abiding. He says, if I found favor in thy sight, pass not away. Stay. It's very interesting. His heart, Abraham at that point, was marvelous. And then he brings water. Many times we come to the Lord just for our need. My need, after I'm okay, I'm going on my way. That's not abiding. So that's why a lot of time he doesn't answer our prayer, because we abide more if we don't answer. Wash your feet and hear him minister to the Lord to his need. You know, the interesting account Brother Lee gave when he had the sense to go to Russia. I'm saying, where did he get it? Fasted for 5 days? Maybe. You know where he got it? While walking from his bedroom to his study. Can you imagine? How would you like to walk from your bedroom to the kitchen and have a fellowship with the Lord? For normal. That's where the decision, initiation to go to Russia came. When I heard that, I said, Lord, I want to be like that. Even walking from one room to another, I would consider you. So this is why he's bearing so many saints. Right? I hope I get about that age and still young and in love.
Amen.
Okay, now he fetched and he went. He was very close. Right? Got the calf. They ate together. Then he asked about Sarah. At this point, what is on Abraham's heart? He still doesn't have the seed. It's not Eliezer. It's not Lot. Right? And then the wife gave him a good opinion. She heard that it's from her, his loins, that he will produce the seed. Right? So it was right, but the wrong person. Hagar. And at this point, he's 99 years old. But through the intimate fellowship, the promise of the seed came. Fruit bearing come from the intimacy. John chapter 15 is not a light chapter. Chapter 1 touches what? The very eternal God becoming the very flesh, which is the tabernacle of God among men, right? And in the tabernacle, to enter in, what you need? You need the offerings. He's the very Lamb of God to be all the offerings. Chapter 3, he is the very laver. We wash, regenerated, right? Then after that, we go to what? The showbread table, chapter 6. We eat the bread of life. After we eat the bread of life, we go to the what? Lampstand. Right? In the lampstand, he is what? Chapter 8. I am the light of the world. The whole John is written according to entering into God. Then he touches the first problem we have, sin. Chapter 8 brings in what? Blindness in chapter 9. And brings in death in chapter what? 11. Then you have the church life. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Loving, serving, and testifying.
Amen.
Washing each other's feet. Then he opens up his heart to the holiest of all. What's in the holiest of all? It's the ark with the Ten Commandments. The very incarnated God is in Christ. The very triune God embodies himself in Christ.
Amen.
As the ark. So he's the Ten Commandments, the very one who embodies
God.
So chapter 14 starts with what? If you see me, you see who? The mystery of the triune God. Then at the end of chapter 14 is his what? I'll send you another comforter. And the comforter is him. In that day you shall know that I am in the Father, you in me, and I in you. This is the holiest of all. So where's chapter 15? The real significance of the fruit bearing is in the holiest of all. 14, 15, 16, 17 is the deepest mystery. It's for our oneness. It's for our abiding. Hallelujah. Yeah. So here with Abraham, you can see the picture. It's so intimate. So in his intimacy, he says, in verse 10, he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the what? Time of life. Amen. Life. Fruit bearing is the time of life. The more we stay in life, the more we will bear fruit. Amen. Now, and then what we get in our natural concept, it's impossible. How many feel fruit bearing is impossible sometimes? Me too. So the Lord says, is anything too hard? It's not you, it's me. Fruit bearing is not you, it's me. Amen. Is anything too hard for Abraham? No. Is anything too hard for the Lord? He promised, amen. We say amen. Amen. We can laugh a little bit like Sarah, but don't. You say, I didn't laugh. I know you laughed. But a lot of fellowship. Then. So, 14, is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return to thee according to the time of life. Sarah shall have a son. So we need that kind of time. Abide in him. Wash his feet. Love him. Amen. Oh, come eat, Lord. Amen. It reminds me of the time when Paul and the prophets were praying in Acts chapter 13. They weren't praying to go do something. They were ministering unto the Lord. Taking care of his needs. At that very moment, the prayer came according to God's need. Fruit bearing is not according to my need. Fruit bearing is according to God's need. Amen. The fruit that we bear glorifies who? The Father. The Father is the source, embodied in the Son, coming to death and resurrection as a life-giving Spirit, joins with us as the branches. And this life flows through as we cut off all our old manner of living, get tied in to this vine. And the Father pops out. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Marvelous, marvelous. This is how the Father is glorified. Okay. Then, it's interesting. After Abraham is just looking for the seed, the promise came. If I was Abraham, I would say, thank you. Go on your way, Lord. He never stopped. Very interesting. Verse 16, and then the men rose up from hence and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on their way. Who do you bring on their way? A salesman that comes knock on your door? Somebody sells vacuum cleaners to you. Do you go walk with him all the way? What if I come to your house and it's time for me to leave? You close the door and say, "Whoo! Well, thank you, Lord." They were very intimate. Even when they were walking away, Abraham went with them to bring them on their way. It's like this, see? I'll be Abraham, huh? You're the Lord. Where's the other two? Come on. The Lord and two angels. Okay, you're walking. It's time to leave. Now, I already got a promise. I'm satisfied. My need is met. I'm going to get that seed. The time of life, when he returns, I'm satisfied. You can go on your way. But with Abraham, he still abode with the Lord. So, you start walking. Okay. At that very point, there's a wonderful verse. And the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do?" God is almighty. He can create the universe, but he needs man's cooperation to fulfill his economy. Only in this abiding life we meet God's need. Shall I hide? Shall I hide from Abraham? Actually, the Lord's saying, I need someone to coordinate with me. God was going to do something. Shall I hide? I like this verse. Wouldn't you like to come in that kind of situation? How many like to be in that kind of intimacy? Lord, make us such people. Verse 19, for I know him. Then the two angels come again. And Abraham and the Lord. The two angels went further. Toward Sodom. You go toward Sodom. That's toward California, I mean. Okay? And you know, it's time for the Lord to go, right? It says, Abraham yet stood before the Lord. At this point, Abraham abiding, he realizes Jehovah has a need. He came for a purpose. One, not only for the promised seed, there's something else on his heart. We're close enough that, there's something else. I better yet stand before the Lord. That word, I yet stood before the Lord, has convicted me. Lord, teach me. Teach me to yet stand before you. Okay, thank you, angels. Amen. Then you know the story. Then verse 23, it says, he's already near, right? He drew near to the Lord. That means, like we're talking like this. Now tell me what. But he never said, but he knew what's on the Lord's heart. So he interceded according to God's need. Is it 50 righteous? Will you, the judge of the whole earth, destroy the city? That can't be so. But the Lord needed that kind of intercession. God works in the principle of incarnation. Your friends need to be saved. But they can only be saved if somebody cooperates to pray. Amen. And I just, after I read this, I just thanked the Lord. There was one brother who prayed for me for 3 months. Amen. No other way I'd be saved. Okay. And who did he pray for? Who was Abraham and the Lord praying for? Lot. Is that a glorious name in the Bible? Huh? How many Lots are caught and we need to pray? It's not according to my vision, but according to his intercession. He prayed for Lot. Can you imagine? The Lord went there. That was deeply in his heart. So he bargained. Eventually the Lord says 10. That's when Abraham realized, you got to destroy that city. Okay. Here's another interesting point. The major thing from what I saw in this is we need to be abiding in him. Secondly, I can't see beyond my nose. Why rescue Lot? God, according to his foreknowledge, regardless how negative things happen after that, Lot's descendant became Ruth. I cannot see 10 generations down. I may look at a brother and say, oh, wow, I mean, this guy here, really, forget him. The church is better off without him. That's my concept. God's view is his foreknowledge. Ruth was to be the grandmother of Jesus. If you read the book of Joshua and Judges, who can be carrying the genealogy? Ruth was in that age, but Samuel, being a very man of God, took that case and brought it right out to the end and continued the genealogy unto David. The main job of the Old Testament is to produce the humanity that God could come into. Amen. Without that intercession, that line would have been broken. I can't see that. I cannot see 10 generations. I can't see 10 days. But Abraham obeyed. We do not know, brothers. After I saw Ruth came up, I said, Lord, thank you. Lot was stayed there. How about it? No Jesus. We don't know what's behind that person. Lord, I had to repent right there. Teach me to pray in such a way.
Amen.
To abide in you.
Amen.
And I in you. And you in me. For without me, you can do nothing.
Amen.
Even what we do is nothing. But I like to abide in him.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
We'd like to intercede with the interceding one.
Amen.
He has something. Shall I hide from this young brother what's inside? The next chapter, Abraham stood in the morning where he was before the Lord and looked at Sodom, and it rained fire. And there's a beautiful verse. You know what it says? When God was pouring out the fire, it says, the Lord remembered Abraham. That's the recovery. I don't know. When I touch this, I says, Lord, you are the Lord. I'm just but ashes and dust and nothing good, but I see something. I want to touch what's in your heart. I want to be one that can intercede according to your need. Okay, now, another thing the Lord showed me through this, actually it's not through me. The foundation was laid by the life study. I dare not speak according to life study. It means nothing. Thank the Lord I got saved at 31. I had no knowledge of anything. The first ministry that came into my mouth was WL. And it's been going on since that time. I don't have time for any other books. Beautiful how he brings it out. The first case of Lot's situation is this: two, Abraham's man and Lot's man were fighting, right? Lot chose to go where? Chose, and he went towards Sodom, right? And then Abraham got his, 318 men to fight the five kings, right? And at that point, Melchizedek comes in, okay? And who's Melchizedek? He's in chapter 7 of Hebrews, who's always interceding for us.
Amen.
For the fighters, he bring the bread and the wine.
Amen.
So from chapter 14 to chapter 18, a lot of things happen. He rescues Lot, right? And then he ends up again in 18. How many years from chapter 14 to chapter 18? 23. God used him. How old are you, brother? Huh? 22. You might meet somebody tomorrow. You have to take care for 23 years. How about that? Nobody's saying hallelujah here. But how marvelous it is. Our God never gives up. Sometimes we fall. Aren't you glad God doesn't give us up?
Amen.
Huh? One brother that Pat knows came in the church with me. he left. And I would meet with him. He wouldn't open his mouth. 10 years. I'd have lunch with him. Good brother, he wouldn't open his mouth. Every 1 month or so, I'd have lunch. I'd pray, and he wouldn't pray. And sometimes I says, wow. You know, it's kind of strange, you know, you're just praying alone, like, you know. I said, how long, Lord, you know, like the prayer in Revelation before, how long? Well, last year, 2 years ago, he turned. He's my biggest co-worker in my neighborhood. He has a burden for everybody. Big heart, praying spirit. But I never saw that. I was just grumbling to the Lord. When is he going to open his mouth? Yeah, Lord, you can just... Sometime while I'm praying, I'll say, Lord, open our mouth! The Lord says, you shut up. I have my time. That doesn't mean I don't spend time with others. I spend time with others, but I keep. And there's another one, you know too, got saved in my apartment. Still out there. Two of them. The Lord always reminds to pray. Shall I hide from Raul the thing which I do? And Raul yet stood before the Lord. And when the Lord did something, he remembered Raul. How about that? Wouldn't you like to be remembered by the Lord? Amen. And you know, Abraham wasn't that hot. He sold his wife 2 times. So, you know, I mean, it helps me. I don't think I sold my wife yet. So here he is. He had problems. Abraham had problems, but he learned to abide. So God used him. So this chapter of 18 of Genesis, I want you to go through it. And it starts from chapter 14. And then you know that Abraham was a praying one. He says, when the king says, king of Sodom says, I'll take the man, you take the goods. He says, no. I have lifted up my hand. That means he had been praying. Yeah. And when we pray, we come forward to God, to the one who's always interceding for us. And in that, we are saved to the uttermost. Amen. So instead of we saving others, we are getting saved. As the life is flowing through us for the fruit, we get the rich enjoyment. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I love the Bible.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but that chapter, I want to know him intimately.
Amen.
As a man.
Amen.
Heart to heart.
Amen.
How about it?
Amen.
Huh? I better stop right here, huh?